The Hard Shoulder.
With the all-new MG HS plug-in hybrid. Petrol freedom plus up to 120 kilometres electric range. MG. Recharge your soul.
Now, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said that the government's view was that it never accepted the legitimacy of the Maduro regime, but he said that he wants a peaceful transition to a democratic regime in Venezuela. He was speaking earlier today in Beijing in China. It obviously comes off the back of Nicolas Maduro, the former president of Venezuela, and being abducted, captured there. He is due in court in New York shortly. And to speak to us about all of this, we are joined now by Dr. Valeska Lima, who is the Assistant Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government and researcher in Latin America, and Jerry McDermott, who is the owner of McDermott Realty Associates and a former sheriff of Norfolk County. And he also joins me now. I'm going to come to you first, Dr. Lima. I'm looking at a footage here on my screen in the News Talk studio of Maduro being transferred from that detention centre to the federal court in New York to face those narco-terrorism charges. I mean, there seemed to be huge shock, I think, initially that this operation took place. We were astonished to see how it had all played out on Saturday. We've had a couple of days to digest it now. What is your assessment at this point of what has happened?
I think everyone woke up a bit surprised with those news. However, if you think about it, we have seen a pattern of intervention from the US into Venezuelan politics, for example, by bombing their vessels, by making public open threat to invade the country. We just didn't expect that maybe it was going to happen so fast and also like this. So it also indicates that it was about finding the right time to this kind of intervention, because Venezuela is at the moment in a very weak position. So it has very few allies. It is facing several financial challenges. Migration is still very high. People are very unhappy. Violence is something that is very serious. So they're facing a lot of issues. So even their biggest allies, for example, Russia and China, they're not able to support them closely, not just because of the distance, but also because of US and EU embargoes and sanctions as well. So I suppose it was a shock also in relation to it was implemented. So they invaded the country in the middle of the night. Everything was done swiftly. And it also tells a lot about the lack of intelligence from the Venezuelan side. So the troops entered the country very quickly, kidnapped their president, took them out, Maduro and his wife, and everything was happening really fast. Now we are starting to know what actually happened. So we know that about 40 people died that night between military personnel and also security guards. A lot of houses were damaged by the bombing. So, and we don't have too many details about the intervention itself. Only very slowly we're starting to understand how it was designed and actually what was the big plan behind this intervention.
Yeah, in his remarks on Saturday, Donald Trump repeatedly referred to Venezuela's oil as a prize that Americans have gained in the operation against Maduro. And yet we are now expecting him in court in New York in the next couple of hours or in the next couple of minutes to face narco-terrorism charges. In terms of the latter, what evidence do you think is going to be able to be produced to support that? And how much do you believe that really was a motivating factor here for America and for Donald Trump?
Well, I suppose it's very hard to defend Maduro's government, because we know from the past years, from his actions and his accolades' actions in the country, they have violating several human rights. They have been made use of militia and a state-coordinated violence. So it explains why some people, including Venezuelan people, they are perhaps happy with this outcome. I know the international community, and of course I include myself in that, we are not happy with this clear violation of international law. But from the point of view of some Venezuelan communities, they do feel that this is opportunity for change. So if we speak to them, I have been trying to develop an understanding that tries to take balanced views between who is benefiting from that and especially what's happening to people on the ground, because we might see a new election soon. And this is part of a strategy from the US government to push for a regime change. We might see an election, but it's very likely that they'll push for a candidate or candidates that are going to be friendly to their administration. If a Trump government has any kind of evidence, strong evidence against Maduro and his partner, it's sweetheart now at that stage. They might have something because this is a strategy that has been going on for a while. We still need to see what exactly they have in place. But as far as I know, it's going to be about Maduro's cooperation with organized cartels, and especially by his use of the state apparatus to move drugs from one place to the other. So they might go about using something along those lines.
And Venezuela's new leader is going to be Delcy Rodriguez. She's been sworn in, although Trump also suggested that America would be in charge in the interim. I don't know if he considers himself to be the interim president of Venezuela. I'm sure he will be asked that question in coming days. How difficult will it be to have any control for Rodriguez to lead here, given the fact that she'll be seen, I suppose, by many as being a puppet of Trump, and she will be working at odds with what the military want in the country?
Well, I think she's not going to be that easy to manipulate by judging from her previous actions. So she's someone who has been a senior official in Venezuela since Chavez. So she has a lot of experience. She's a Chavista at heart. So even though in the beginning it was said that she would cooperate, it's very hard to be sure that if she is going to cooperate at all.
Notwithstanding the threats that were made by, I think, Trump and Marco Rubio today, that she would want to basically get in line or she will face a fate that was suggested almost worse than Maduro.
It might be the case because Donald Trump has already declared that anyone who is not aligned with his government plans, they might face a similar fate or even worse. So this is a very clear threat, and this is a type of domination by fear. She might be able to fight that, or she might decide to face Donald Trump and face the consequences. It's hard to know, but from her historic in her party, it might be the case that she might be resistant, or she might be able to find some kind of space where she can avoid a more subordinate position and push her own agenda. I think this is a situation that we really need to wait and see what's going to happen. It's a developing situation for sure.
What do you make, I suppose, of the threat level now towards other nations and other leaders? It appears that Trump feels emboldened by what has happened at the weekend, and he has spoken about wanting to carve up the globe into spheres of influence, and their influence will be in Latin America or America, as he seems to see it at times. He's made threats against Colombia, against Cuba, against Mexico. What is the threat level towards those countries, do you believe, and their leaders?
I suppose it's very high at the moment. And this kind of action and also his declarations, they do create a lot of instability and fear in the region. So we have seen all countries in Latin America now in how alert, checking and double checking their borders and keeping their military on alert, because this might happen again. And from his statements, from Donald Trump's statements, it seems that the next target is going to be Colombia. They have been having issues in relation to how the country is addressing the cartel situation, the drug trafficking problem, and the Trump government think Colombia is not doing enough. However, if we think about the oil interests in the country, Colombia doesn't have that amount of oil to be exploited. So the justification in Colombia, it's probably going to be, if something like this intervention happens in the country, it's probably going to be about fighting narco-traffic and also having a more US-friendly president.
Okay, I just want to play, actually, because Trump had some pretty choice words at the weekend for his Colombian counterpart, Gustavo Petro, who has said, if there's any moves against him, you will unleash a popular jaguar. And listen to what he had to say.
Well, he has cocaine mills. He has factories where he makes cocaine. And yeah, I think I stick by my first statement. He's making cocaine. They're sending it into the United States. So he does have to watch his ass.
And he also said about the Mexican president, something's going to have to be done with Mexico because drug cartels are running the country. In regards to Cuba, he said, there's going to be something we'll end up talking about because Cuba is a failing nation right now. Well, let me bring in Harriet Alexander, who's a senior features reporter for The Times and the Sunday Times. She is based in New York. You're very welcome to the programme, Harriet. So first, you might bring us through, I suppose, the operation that we all have watched unfold on our TV screens over the last couple of minutes to transfer Maduro from his detention centre to the New York courtroom and the security operation that is unfolding outside and inside the courtroom now.
That's right. So Nicolas Maduro and his wife were being held at what's called the Metropolitan Detention Center. It's in Brooklyn on the waterfront there. He was taken by helicopter from that Brooklyn site across the river to Lower Manhattan. It's not very far at all, but just for security reasons, that's what they did to save shutting down the whole of New York. Then he was transferred by motorcade, to the courthouse, the Daniel Moynihan Courthouse in Lower Manhattan. And proceedings are just getting underway in this arraignment hearing for Maduro and for his wife.
So what do we expect to happen at that arraignment hearing today? Will the charges obviously be read out against him? Will any suggestion of evidence be put forward?
Well, there might be a summary, yes. I mean, it certainly won't be the full case, of course, but prosecutors do tend to sort of do a little bit of an intro as to the case and to why he's there. They will be asked whether they understand the charges. And they will be asked to enter a plea. They're expected to plead not guilty. This is only the very first step in a case that is going to take a very long time.
I'm just looking here on Sky News, the reporting. Maduro has just told the court, I am not guilty. I am a decent man. Talk to me about the scenes outside of the courtroom, the protests that are unfolding there.
Yes, there's quite a large crowd actually outside of the courthouse. It's obviously a very high profile place in Manhattan. There are people there who are protesting against the detention of Maduro. They are calling for him to be freed, saying that it is American imperialist aggression. That's certainly echoed, of course, a few miles north at the UN where the Security Council meeting is going on, and Maduro's representative at the United Nations is saying just that, that this is illegitimate and that there are no grounds to bring him before the US court. So there's a lot of flag waving outside the courthouse and a huge media presence, as you could imagine.
So what is the process here then, Harriet? What is going to happen next? What is the timeline?
Well, it's going to take a while, that we know for sure. There are four federal counts against Maduro and his wife, cocaine trafficking, narco-terrorism, and weapons possessions charges, including machine guns. So at the moment, both of them are being represented by court-appointed lawyers. That will certainly change as they get their own legal team in place to defend them. And then they will start going through the discovery. It's really interesting reading the indictment, which was unsealed after Maduro was arrested. It's an updated indictment because it adds Maduro's wife to the same one, the same existing one, which was first filed back in 2022. And that indictment sort of spells out really what they have against him. And it's quite detailed. Talks about, you know, how that Maduro, when he was foreign minister, while Hugo Chavez was still alive, was giving fake passports to drug dealers. He was using diplomatic aircraft to fly to Mexico to aid drug shipments. So it sounds like they have a lot of wiretaps and a lot of info against him.
You mentioned there the meeting of the United Nations Security Council, and the Secretary General there, Antonio Guterres, has raised concerns about a possible intensification of instability in Venezuela. He also questioned whether rules of international law have been respected. Who else there raised questions over what has happened in Venezuela?
Yeah, obviously the Venezuelans themselves, Samuel Moncada, he's the one who called this emergency meeting, but also the Colombians supported this because, as you mentioned earlier, Trump has been very bellicose in his rhetoric towards Colombia. A UN advisor called Jeffrey Sachs, he was talking about it just on a sort of legal basis, really. He was saying, regardless of what your opinions are on Nicolas Maduro as a leader, this should be alarming for a lot of countries because he argued that it sets a dangerous precedent and it's not within the bounds of international law.
All right. I want to bring in Jerry McDermott here, who is from McDermott Realty Associates and a former sheriff of Norfolk County and a Republican. You're very welcome to the programme. So how do you square, Jerry, this new willingness that appears from Trump to threaten, to pursue regime change, to actually go so far as to abduct a leader of Venezuela, with Trump's earlier promises to his followers to avoid foreign wars and end endless wars?
Well, thank you for having me. And first and foremost, I just want to say that I think all American people just want to see a freedom, a peaceful and a prosperous Venezuela, and we're very happy for the people of Venezuela. This was a narco-terrorist who lost an election in 2024 but remained in power. So people should call him a president. He's not a legitimate president. And hopefully the Nobel Peace Prize winner will win an election in the near future there and restore order to Venezuela. As far as military action, it was needed to back up Attorney General Pam Bondi. This was going in to arrest a narco-terrorist. And as you know, in the United States of America, we have over 100,000 people die every year from fentanyl poisoning. Fentanyl's precursors are usually coming in from China. They're mixed up by the Colombian, the Venezuelan, and the Mexican cartels. But at the end of the day, Maduro, just a bad actor. This goes back to his predecessor, Hugo Chavez, who you may recall, some of your listeners may recall, he stood in New York on the floor of the United Nations and called George W. Bush the devil and publicly said he wanted to see oil go to $200 a barrel to cripple us. Venezuela, both under Chavez and Maduro, went in bed with the Iranian mullahs, with China, with Russia. They've been sending drugs. They've had human trafficking. They've had gangs here in the United States raping and killing people.
So if it is about that, if that is the real motivation here, Jerry, if it is about drugs and, as you say, about narco-terrorism, although there are real questions being asked about the level of drugs that are actually coming in from Venezuela, then should Colombia and Mexico be scared? Should their leaders be expecting to face the same fate?
They should be. If you look back under President Barack Obama, he dropped over 26,000 bombs in Yemen and Syria, you know, all over the world. Nobody blinked an eye or said that he was taking military action or called him to task at the UN. But everyone's fairly quick to go after Trump, and we understand why. We get it. We're not looking for everyone's stamp of approval on this. But there is talk of using drone strikes, and we have offered kindly to Mexico to say, let us help you. Help Mexico not be a narco state. There are so many cartels operating within Mexico. The same thing in Colombia. But if their leaders don't want to help their own people and they don't want to help the United States, I don't know what more we can do other than we have to protect our citizens.
Okay, I think it's more confusing people, to be honest, Jerry, is the appeal of Trump, certainly the political appeal of Trump for so many people was his vow to extricate America from military quagmires overseas. He said, I'm not going to start wars, I'm going to stop wars. And yet now it seems to be that Venezuela is legitimate, Colombia is legitimate, Mexico is legitimate. We've seen strikes ordered on Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Somalia, Nigeria, Iran. So I'm just confused as to how this is in keeping with what Trump promised his supporters.
So what Trump did promise was America first and a great economy. And we're going to get that. Even CNN just reported this morning that the price of gas – or as you would say, petrol, for a gallon of gas is down the lowest it's been since 2020. And it's going to go lower when we have a free, prosperous, and peaceful partner in Venezuela. Plus, America has enough of its own energy here, gas and oil. So we're going to see prices go down. We've seen everything from the price of eggs to loaf of bread. All these prices are coming down, which he promised. But he also promised the American people, I'm not going to let you be harmed by the influx of drugs, by gang members. I mean, my God, it was under President Biden, it was nonstop. We saw the violence from Trente Aragua, for this vicious prison gang from Venezuela. So I think Trump is keeping his promises. We're not looking to get into a big, prolonged war. That's not it at all. But we're sending a message that narco terrorists will not be tolerated. This was a quick surgical strike to remove a narco terrorist, try him in the courts. And we don't go out looking for fights. We'd like to live in peace with everybody, particularly here in the Western Hemisphere. But everyone should be on notice.
Okay. You surely know as much as anybody, Jerry, that there have been really serious failures from past experiences of the United States trying to overthrow dictators because they get the first part right, but they don't know what to do next.
Sure, sure. You can go back to the Shah of Iran when he fell. You can go to Vietnam, etc. There's been lessons learned throughout history. But again, we're not looking to have a huge military presence and run Venezuela or have a war. What I think is going to happen is the people of Venezuela in the coming months will have a free and fair election, and hopefully they elect somebody who is all about democracy. And
you're not expecting them to see U.S. boots on the ground in Venezuela, are you?
No, no. I think a very limited capacity, and I think what you'll see is companies like British Petroleum and Chevron and ExxonMobil and others, they'll go in there with their own private sector forces to secure their interests. But this is going to be peace and prosperity, first and foremost, for the people of Venezuela.
But obviously, that's what most people, not most people, but that's what a lot of people think was the real motivation here, isn't it?
I don't think it is. I really don't think it is. Look, I represented a section of the city of Boston on the Boston City Council years ago, and had a lot of Venezuelan people living in my district. They are exuberant. They're so excited now that they'll be able to travel back and forth. You saw over a million people go to Colombia, but you saw 8 million people displaced. And for God's sakes, they were eating out of the trash cans.
All right,
rich, oil-rich country now has gone to hell because of socialism.
Okay, look, unfortunately, we're just running out of time here, but I'm going to have to leave it there for now. My thanks to Jerry McDermott, to Dr. Valeska Lima, and to Harriet Alexander. Let's take a quick break.